Hey, my name is Mike, and I get to teach here from time to time. Mission is our home church, and my wife Debbie and I are fully invested here. So even though it seems like I'm always somewhere else teaching on the weekends, my heart is with y'all all the time. And they asked if I could wrap up this little parenting series that we've been in called Arrows, and I hope it's been super helpful to you. I mean, even if you're not a parent, there have been all kinds of principles and truths that have been shared that I think apply to everybody. So if you missed any of the weeks, you ought to really check it out on the Mission app. And today I want to wrap this up talking about giving your kids wings. I absolutely love being a dad and now a papa. It's been one of the greatest privileges of my life. Debbie and I have three kids, Jody, Derek, and Drew, and three more with Mike, Lauren, and Laura, and nine grandkids that are so much better than your grandkids. Our youngest son, Drew, has seven-year-old twins and a four-year-old as well, and he got me on to following some guy on Twitter who writes like he's an actual toddler, kind of speaking his mind. It's @honesttoddler. Pretty funny. Let me just show you just a few of those. For instance, tonight's bedtime story was about three pigs struggling with repeated home invasions. Thanks for the new fear. I love this one. Dinner. Getting a lecture about spinach from someone whose bones crack in eight places every time they stand. I love this one. I don't know where my next meal is coming from, but I sincerely hope it's not Pinterest. Anybody else relate to that one? I love this one. Dora, I'm going to tell you the same thing I told the man with the yellow hat. Ditch the monkey. He says this, funny after 10 p.m. asking for a sip of water is on the same level as attempted murder. Then I love this one. The problem with you people is that you think children are like smartphones and upgrading every 2 years is like normal. Well, it's impossible to upgrade kids, but you know what? We can't upgrade the way we parent them. It's like the old adage, I can't control the wind, but I can adjust my sails. And I think we can all get intentional about building better relationships in all of our families. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you have kids in diapers, you got kids in grade school, or you're trying to help them navigate the teenage years, or maybe you just dropped them off at college or walked them down an aisle. Every parent, every grandparent faces the same challenge. How do we, as these imperfect people, how do we provide the framework and the guardrails and the loving environment in which to raise our kids to become difference-making adults? I mean, how do we give them wings to soar on their own someday? Now, you need to know this about me. I am so far from being an expert in the field of parenting. I'm just talking to you today, not even as a pastor, but as an extremely imperfect father of three. And I can just tell you this, if you don't have God involved in the raising of your kids, if you don't hit your knees regularly and just say, God, I'm trying my best, but I need your best, I need your wisdom to pull this off, it's just going to be a long uphill struggle for you. You have to get a perfect father involved. So let me just quickly give you some principles that I've been learning on the job for the past 35 years or so. They all have a wisdom proverb from God's book attached and all involve the letter D. So maybe it'll help you understand these, remember these easily. The first one is this, let them dance their own dance. If you're going to give them wings, let them dance their own dance. You know, one of the best things about a night to remember, that prom we throw for special needs students at the fairgrounds, it's so cool to watch the dance floor because every student has their own unique dance. And all kids are like that. Every kid is unique. They all got their own dance. So as you give them wings, encourage them just to be who God designed them to be. They're not like their brother or sister. And even though there might be some genetic similarities, they're not like their dad. They're not like their mom. They're just a whole lot like them. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he or she should go. And when they're old, they'll not turn from it. Now, the Hebrew word for way carries the connotation of a bent. While there is one ultimate way to point them toward God, there's also the unique way that he ought to go, that she ought to go. For instance, if you've got a little extroverted leader, well, help her develop those leadership skills. If you've got a little introverted artist, help him develop those creative gifts. One of my best friends has three kids. Two of his kids are really into sports, and he's a former athlete, so he could easily relate with them. But one of his sons didn't have anything to do with sports. He just wanted to play with Legos all the time. He goes, I don't know how to relate to him as a kid. I said, first of all, he's smarter than you. You ought to ask him to show you how to build something. So he would play Legos with his son, and now that son is a world-class architect designing skyscrapers all over the world. You see, there's a tendency to try to force our kids into the mold that we want for them. I coached for a lot of years, and I was standing with a dad at a baseball game a while back, and he said to me, a complete stranger, as he watched his son struggle to play, "I always wanted a ball player. I got a sissy." And I just cringed. I said, "You know, sir, what you got a wonderful, unique, bright, creative, sensitive kid that you are trying to make into a ball player. And just let them dance their own dance." All three of our kids are different. Similar interests, but they're all three very unique. Jody, as a kid, she was a party waiting to assemble. Man, she would grab her brothers and put on these little plays, and she would always be the lead. She'd always have the speaking part, and she would just make up stuff and just flow out of her mouth. And now all of you benefit from that on a lot of Sundays. Derek could always solve puzzles, put things together, figure out how to do anything. And as a kid, he had an ear and an aptitude for music. At 5 years old, he won a countywide talent show singing "All My Exes Live in Texas." And even though he loved playing sports and still loves it, he had this unique gift and a passion for music. So we got him a guitar, and I taught him five chords. I still know five. He knows 500. And now he plays bass and keys and banjo and guitar and drums and can figure out just about how anything works and how it's put together. That's the way God made him. I was sitting at a graduation ceremony with our youngest son, Drew, one time. He's a freshman in high school. And as all the graduates were announced, they would give their future plans, like, this is Todd, and he plans on owning his own business someday. This is Sarah, and she plans to go to the mission field. This is Julie, and she plans on pursuing a degree in nursing. This is Josh. He hopes to one day have a seat on the Supreme Court, and on it went. Well, I turned to Drew, who was just eaten up with basketball at the time. I said, "Hey, what are they going to say about you in a few years, man?" He grinned and said, "Drew Bro has accepted a scholarship to play at the University of Kentucky basketball team. After that, he plans on a long career in the NBA. And I said, "No, dude, you know what they're going to say? Drew Bro recently turned down a basketball scholarship to pursue his dream of someday beating his dad one-on-one in the driveway." Boom, elbow back. We're talking trash back and forth on the back row, punching each other. Well, he went on to lead his team as a quiet, lead-by-example, hardworking, creative leader. And now he's on another team at a company, and he is soaring in that similar role these days. I mean, it's so fun to watch your kids absolutely fly. So I want to challenge you guys. Just dream with your kids. Spur them on. Say things like, "You know what? You could. I believe you can. You ought to give that a try. You know what? God has so much in store for you. I'm so glad he made you you, and you're going to rock this world someday." Never discourage a dream. When you say stuff like, "There's no way you could do that, man, that's impossible," that's toxic and disabling. Always say, "That's a great dream, and God will lead you as you pursue it." Now, he may totally take you a different direction, but that dream is a great starting point, because Proverbs 16:9 says, "We can make our plans, we can dream our dreams, but the Lord determines our steps." So let them dance their own dance. And secondly, equip them with disciplines. Equip them with disciplines. You know what? No one has ever soared very high or lasted very long or achieved very much or run very straight without it. Discipline in your life is an indispensable tool. It'll serve them well if you will equip them with disciplines like a strong work ethic and good study habits and wise money management and leadership skills and how to treat your body and how to treat other people and good manners and the discipline of putting the pain before the pleasure and decision making and conflict resolution and how to have a consistent time of personal worship and Bible study and prayer, the discipline of solitude and gratitude, and the discipline of serving other people. There's a ton of really cool recent research that reveals a big-time connection between happiness and serving other people. There was a study done over in the UK where they did 40 different studies over a 20-year period that asked the question, is there a connection between happiness, health, and selflessness, serving other people? Well, the answer came back a resounding absolutely. They found that people who carved out time to make serving other people their lifestyle, like volunteering somewhere in their church, their community, or somewhere else in their life, studies show that those people who live beyond themselves have less depression, less heart disease, enjoy higher levels of satisfaction, lower levels of stress, higher levels of contentment, happiness. It was really amazing for teenagers. They found that students who regularly served other people, volunteered somewhere to help other people, experienced far less drug abuse, far less unplanned pregnancies. They had higher self-esteem. They were healthier mentally and physically. In fact, the study concluded, even if you have to force your teen to volunteer, do it. Volunteering, even with a bad attitude, still has positive results. And they found that kids who volunteer generally carry good decision-making and the benefits of that into adulthood, because it's just become a part of who they are. Proverbs 5:23 reminds us, death is the reward of an undisciplined life. Your foolish decisions trap you in a dead end. Proverbs 19:18 says, discipline your children while they're young enough to learn. If you don't, man, you're just helping them destroy themselves. So if our goal is to give them wings and to watch them soar on their own one day, then we also got to point them the right direction. Point them the right direction. Check out Proverbs 4:11. It says, my child, I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. If you live a life guided by wisdom, you won't limp or stumble as you run. I love that verse because it's like a dad sitting down with his kids and saying, listen, I'm going to make mistakes to be sure, but I'm going to try my best to lead you, to point you in the right direction. I will do my best to model in front of you and point you toward a life that's guided by the wisdom of God. That's my commitment to you. So I got to ask you right now, how many of you parents will make that kind of commitment today? And kids, if you have a parent that is that committed to you, I'm telling you, you got a great gift. Because their goal someday is to give you wings. And here's a proverb just for you. Proverbs 6, verse 20 and following. Young man or young woman, obey your father and mother. Take to heart all their advice. Keep in mind everything they tell you. Every day and all night long, their counsel will lead you and save you from harm. When you wake up in the morning, let their instruction guide you into the new day. For their advice is a beam of light directed into the dark corners of your mind to warn you of danger and to give you a good life. I think I've told you this before, but we were living out in Kentucky. Our kids were in middle school and elementary school, and Debbie and I were walking down a driveway one night where we were living. It got really, really dark at night. I know it gets really, really dark everywhere at night, but we didn't have street lights. We're kind of out in the country, and I noticed how the stars were really bright. They were far away, but they were brilliant. Then there was a crescent moon, you know, one of those fingernail moons up in the sky, and it was also far away, but very, very bright. And then all of a sudden, I saw an airplane fly across the sky and put on its like landing gear lights on the way to the local airport. And then off in the distance, I could see a searchlight sweeping through the sky. I mean, all these lights out in the distance at the same time. But what caught my attention was a firefly, a little lightning bug. You ever seen these things? They're bugs that their butts glow. And it caught my attention. It was right in front of my nose. And I thought to myself, you know what? I might not be the biggest, the brightest, the fanciest light in my kid's galaxy, but I can be the closest one. And maybe if I just get up close and model truth-telling and model authenticity, maybe if I get up close and model generosity, maybe if I just get up close and often enough, maybe all the other lights in this world won't entice them as much. Point them the right direction. One more thing as you work toward giving your kids wings. Pray for godly discernment. Pray for godly discernment. Gang, it's so hard growing up today. Our kids are going to face so many crossroads, so many temptations, so many invitations to mess up their lives. They're going to struggle with relationship choices. They're going to be in situations where their own strength is just not going to be enough. So you start praying early that God will give them great discernment. It says in Proverbs 3:21 and 26, my son, my daughter, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight, for they will be life for you. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. You know, discernment is a great gift. It's that godly wisdom inside of you that prompts you, don't go down that street, don't get in that car, don't fall for that guy, stay away from that party, don't listen to them, they're just feeding you a line. I'm telling you, it's a gift from God, and every kid ought to have it. So as a parent, you plant God's word in your kid's heart ahead of time. You talk through situations that might happen ahead of time. You pray with them ahead of time. You help them establish wise guardrails and healthy boundaries ahead of time. You stress to them the value of discernment. You say, you know what? There's a lot of things I pray for you, but most of all, I pray that you will find the wisdom of God to guide your life. He certainly has honored that for our daughter, Jody. Many of you know Jody's story. She got off track her junior year of high school. I came around, surrendered her life to Jesus Christ. Then she spent a year in Haiti serving in a medical mission. And during that year, Debbie and I were missing her, and we get out the baby books one night. And the very first prayer recorded in her baby book was a prayer for discernment. Debbie wrote this as a 22-year-old mom. And this is what she wrote. She says, God, I pray for our new little girl that as she grows to love you, she'll be able to discern what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil, what's important and what's not, what are earthly treasures and what are eternal ones. That's a prayer she wrote as a 22-year-old mom for our little baby girl. And today, Jody possesses that gift and has learned how priceless it is, and she's passing it on to her girls. So parents, you want to give your kids wings? Then hit your knees. Ask God for help. get some other people involved, because it really does take a village, and let them dance their own dance. Encourage them to be the unique person that God created them to be, and equip them with disciplines, and pray for godly discernment, and then point them the right direction, and you just pull back that bow, and you let those arrows fly. You know, people used to tell me, cherish this opportunity with your kids because it goes so fast. And I thought, it's just something old people say. Now that I'm old people, let me tell you, cherish this time with your kids. It goes so fast, man. You got one shot, and they're looking to you for leadership. I've always loved what Mary Corzine writes from the perspective of our kids. She writes, when you thought I wasn't looking, you hung my first painting on the refrigerator, and I wanted to paint another. When you thought I wasn't looking, you fed a stray cat, and I thought it was a good idea to be kind to animals. When you thought I wasn't looking, you baked a birthday cake just for me, and I learned that little things were special. When you thought I wasn't looking, you said a prayer, and I believed there was a God that I could always talk to. When you thought I wasn't looking, you kissed me goodnight, and I felt the whole world was right. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw tears come out of your eyes. And I learned that sometimes things hurt, and it's okay to cry. When you thought I wasn't looking, you cared, and I wanted to be everything I could be. When you thought I wasn't looking, I looked, and I want to say thanks for all those things you did when you thought I wasn't looking. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for putting us in each other's lives. Thank you for the privilege of being a parent. We thank you that you are the perfect Heavenly Father. We look to you for wisdom. God, help us to be grateful for the people you put in our lives, and help us to shape each other, and help us to raise our kids to the point where we can release them and let them go, and they can hit the mark, and they can make a difference in this world, Father. Thank you for the many people that are trying their best to do that with your help. And I pray you give us all wisdom and strength to pull it off. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So I have three daughters. That's a lot of estrogen. So you can pray for me, fellas. I have a 17-year-old, a senior, a 14, that's a freshman, and an 11-year-old, that's a sixth grader. So I've not been into the release season. I'm fully on the cusp of it. So that's why I asked Mike to talk about it. I knew it'd be super helpful. I also am going to introduce Mission to two families that go to Mission that I have the utmost respect for. And I want to pick their brain, because I've watched them parent into this season well and help other kids through this season. So I'm just going to be selfish and ask them what I want to ask them, and you all can listen. Does that sound cool? All right. So let me, Dan and Katie Tappy and Mark and Ruth Smith, will you help me welcome them to the Mission stage? Sorry. So at the beginning, I want to just make sure that we all know that these guys are perfect, and they've done everything right in the parenting their adult children well. And no, that was the deal. They said, they're like, man, we messed up so much. I'm like, I think Mission will know that you've messed up. But we also want to learn from, I'll learn from your mistakes. Maybe I won't repeat. I'll make my own mistakes, I'm sure, but maybe I won't repeat yours. So you want me to just introduce yourselves and then like your family situation and ages of kids and stuff like that?
Okay, I'm Dan Tapia, and we have four kids, three grandchildren, and my wife will tell you their names and their ages.
So, anyway, our kids are 32, 30, 28, and then we realized our family wasn't complete, and then we also have a 22-year-old now. We adopted our fourth.
But you know, not clearly not old enough to have those older kids, for sure.
But Dan is, right?
That's... Yeah. That's good. What are grandkids?
Grandkids are 2, 1, and 4.5 months.
That's amazing. So what do they call you?
Grammy Poppy.
All right. Awesome. All right. Family situation, ages and names of kids. And all
yeah.
Not names. You don't have to go to names. So I'm just teasing. Okay. Protect the innocent.
Well, this is Mark, my amazing husband, and I'm Ruth, and we have four kids and four grandkids, and they are 29, 27, 25, and 10. And then our grandkids are 1, 2, 3, 4.
So I have some questions. 29, 27, 25, and 10. I know how it works biologically. I'm just asking, like, what happened? Is that too much information? No, what happened on that, the age gap there? So,
well, after our three kids got older, we went into foster care, and we got a call one day for a 15-month-old kid that they were looking for some emergency placement. And at that time, we weren't doing little babies. And my wife sent a picture of him, and he has Down syndrome. And so I'm like, really? And she goes, yeah, it's just for a few days. And we adopted him. That was 10 years ago.
Just a few days. So it's amazing. I had knew that you both had adopted, but I didn't even put it together till we were talking about this, of like how you've even expanded your circle of natural children to be like, we want to help as many of the next generation we can. So it's really, really cool. I'm proud of you for that. You have exceptional kids. So I just want to know, like, what are some things that, like, when you look back, and I'm going to make you start with what you maybe think you did right, and I know that you probably feel like there's a bigger list of what you did wrong, but what are a couple things that you're like, man, we didn't know it at the time, but this was a really important part of releasing our kids and sending them and watching them soar well. What'd you do right?
I married Dan. And okay. Oh. I say that because he was always wanting to build their character. Like, we're not thinking just about today, we're thinking about the big picture. And I'm like, I'm not even capable of thinking about the big picture. I just think about today, what's gonna be convenient, how can I nurture? And I think by God putting us together, we were able to raise and launch our kids.
So now he can't say that marrying you wasn't, you just put him in a bad spot. If he doesn't, then he's just a bad person. So, yeah.
Okay, for us, when we got married, the first year I realized I had no idea what it means to be a husband, and I figured, okay, that means I'm going to know what it means to be a father. So we both went on a search to say, what can we do to know what it to grow as and know what it's like. First of all, to be a husband, and then a parent. And so we went to marriage and family conferences. We went to children conferences. We listened to Focus on the Family, which is a great, great program. We listened to Family Life, another great program, because it's just, I felt I was ill-equipped. And so it was really a matter of saying, what do I need to do to equip myself?
Cool. Just being humble enough to ask for help. So that's great. So what'd you guys do right?
So we actually asked our kids, some of the questions you were going to ask, and on the wrong one, they looked at Ruthie and said, you did everything just perfect. And then they looked at me and she said, sit down, get a pen and paper. We got a list. Now, one of the things that we did is we tried to adopt what our Jewish community friends do, and like the Jewish mother who constantly tells her kids they can do anything and be anybody. And so we wanted to be their biggest cheerleader and biggest supporter, and also, their hero. And we were over at a friend's house, the family, and the guys put down a whole spoonful of green beans on Rick's plate. And Rick looks at him and very kindly says, I don't like green beans. And he goes, well, in our house, we eat all of our green beans, and so you need to eat them. And I looked over and I said, John, I'm Rick's dad, and in our house, we don't make our kids eat stuff they don't like. And so he's not going to eat your green beans. I'll gladly eat them for him, but he's not going to. And my son looked over at me and he's like, Dad, you're my biggest hero. And yeah. And so
I didn't grow up in a house like that. I had to eat everything. So Dan still makes me eat green beans when I go over there.
Our thing is don't eat vegetables. Yes.
What else? What would you say for you that did right?
Yeah, I think just encouraging them to be the best that they can be. I mean, Mike said it on there and looking for their talents and encouraging them in that and just letting them know that we are always here, that it's okay to fail and that we're there, letting them experiment everything. It's best to do it when they're young, let them make messes in the kitchen, then you have to clean it up. But they need to try everything and feel comfortable and knowing that they're safe.
Yeah, so like, I know that they need to own their own faith. I know that faith has got to be central. I know that God's got to be a central part. And I know that they have to work on building their character. I know that they can't be perfect. I know that we have to help learn them how to fail so that they can know how to, like, rebound and respond and what God does with failure. But how do you, like, when they leave the house and it's done, you know, the 18 years are done and it's parenting's not done. But, like, how did you, was that hard? Like, because I'm looking at it going, like, I got about 6 months and I don't even know what I'm going to do. So, how was that season for you?
Well, it's kind of nice when they leave. So it wasn't that hard. But
You have great kids, too.
But I will say, our son, after college, had come back for a while, our second son, and I didn't want him to leave. Neither, it was great having him there. He can reach the things on the shelves that neither Dan nor I could reach, and he's taller than us. And he just, it was a joy to have around. He wasn't laying on the couch playing video games all day. It was like, it was just a joy to have him. But so that was hard to realize, but you're a young man, you need your own place, And so having him leave was a decision, we didn't have to force.
I have watched parents that have navigated, it feels like they get him to teenage mode and then they tap out. They're like, whew, that was hard. And I'm like, double down. That's the time that you need to double down the most. And then when they get out of the house, you can move into friendship mode. And that's later. And later is longer, is one of the things that we've been talking about. And so you invest now for the later. And you can be friends later, but later is longer. I'm just like, I'm needing, you know my girls and you know me. So you coach me up, Dan. What am I in for?
I'll tell you what I did. I did, once our oldest left, we kind of said, great, okay, great, this feels great, But, and I did not think about the relationship beyond that too much. And so my regret is that I did not communicate with him more and check in with him, because he's a guy, and he doesn't need dad or mom anymore. He's off doing his own thing, which is true. But the fact that I neglected to do that with him, I think that made a difference. And so I really had to reconsider that and realize, okay, communication, stay in touch with them. That's the thing to do, because there are three things I told him that he's going to deal with: loneliness, stress, and freedom. And instead of saying, go figure it out yourself, conversation would have been helpful for him. He did great at the end, but there was some stumbling that went on. And I thought, okay, if I was a little bit more engaged, instead of saying, okay, this is, we're done, next, that I think I would have, he would have appreciated that much more.
Yeah, okay. Coach me up, so help me. What am I in for? Oh, you handed the mic over.
it's a little bit about building a bridge. So if you construct a bridge, you work on it hard. And that's what it is when the kids are young and raising them. And then you get the bridge done, and then you got to stand back and watch the cars drive over it and hope they don't crash into the water. And so it was fun for us, we did have a party and turned their room into an office, but it was fun to sit back and to watch them, all the hard work. And, for the most part, it was fun to watch it all pay off.
Yeah. Anything you'd add in there?
No, just the scaffolding and all that stuff is true. And, I just want to shout out to them with the way that they did scaffold. We see David Tapia, their son, who is amazing, and from example of them serving in the church, and he is now serving and helping our son Carson every day for 7 years, has been there every Sunday, just about taking care of him. And it's neat. It's kind of like you can see that transition in that, and he's off on his own and he's still doing stuff and being part of the church.
Yeah, he's an exceptional young man. We talked last time about just some of the legacy stuff that's in your family and just the way that everybody parented different. And would you maybe speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, so, Ruth comes from a family of three. I'm five, so that's eight of us. Between us eight, we all have 25 children. 17 of them are married, so that's 42. And just the heritage of, and her mom's still here and prays like crazy. My parents did when they were here, and so did their parents. And the legacy of prayer is what's made a difference. They're all involved in church. They love the Lord, every single one of them. And to witness that and to see it firsthand is really crazy. Yeah.
Just a side note on that, just real quick. What he missed out is that we all parented completely different. That's huge. I mean, we thought we were doing the only one that was right, but we realized, going back, looking over, that we just parented completely different, but the main ingredient was prayer, and it was prayer through the generation. And That's a huge encouragement for everybody just to pray.
Yeah, so that's like so inspiring, but it also, there could be people in the room that are like, well, Dad, that'd be awesome if my family was like that, but I've royally messed it up, or, you know, I didn't come to grow up that way, or I didn't have any of that. So, like, what encouragement would you say to the room, like long obedience in the same direction, legacy of faith? Like, that's the whole thing we want to start, if we can, if we're responsible for it, but we didn't always get it. So what would you say to the room?
Right. Well, be the one. What they always say is, do for one what you wish you could do for many. So even for those that either don't have kids or you're whatever, just look around. There's kids that need prayer, and you could be the difference. You could start that family legacy. If you're now just becoming a grandparent, start praying for your kids, your grandkids, and just change the next generation. What we're talking about is, you can be the first to impact.
Yeah, and you can go back into our heritage and our lineage, and it hasn't always been that way, but somebody stopped and started it, and that's just it. It's never too late.
That's awesome. Anything you'd say to that?
Well, I think, Dan, you might want to speak to that.
You just got told. You got voluntold.
Dan didn't come from a godly family, right? Yeah. He wasn't raised. So, and yet, as he said, he's like, he became a father or a husband and father. Was like, I don't know how to do this. And so Dan is the one that started this new legacy. And now we have four kids who are walking with the Lord. And our youngest daughter, who had a rougher journey, just celebrated on September 9th her one-year anniversary of being a daughter of her father, her heavenly father. And she's got a relationship with Jesus now that's her own. And
she had to find her own way.
She did have to find her own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I just think the world of them. I would consider them close friends, and I think the world of you individually and together. So I would love for you to just, is there anything that you would want to say to mission? It can be about parenting or just be about faith or encouragement or hope or anything that you'd want to say to the mission family to kind of close out.
Well, as I said last time, it doesn't really matter what the topic is, but unless I'm walking with the Lord, unless I know what his word says and I have a relationship, I'm just trying to do things on my own strength, and that will never work, and certainly not in parenting. So I just say it's got to start here with trusting the Lord and learning what he has to say and how much he loves me.
Thanks. Ruth, you can go.
I would just remember that obviously the kids are watching us. They're watching you. And do the walk, not the talk. Be at church. Make it exciting. Our youngest, Carson, the best thing is to ask him, or let him know that church is tomorrow. It's church. Yes! So I think it's our attitude, too, that you make church exciting. You remember that, they're watching everything you do. Don't be fighting and arguing and thinking, oh, church. They're watching and listening. So do that. I also encourage you to just to get your kids involved in youth groups. So people say, well, that's just fun. Well, yeah, you want them to go to church because that's fun and that's exciting. And they're going to get blessed with some great talks from the youth pastor and loved on by all these other people that Jody was talking about last week, making sure you're surrounding your kids with good input. And at youth group, they'll get that.
Cool. Thanks. Dan?
I find the culture really pushing against God. And so how do we help them? How do we help them not push against them, but know that they were created, he has a purpose for them, he has so much in store for them. And that is through helping them, reading God's word on your own as well as with them, prayer, modeling serving, modeling giving. They had said teaching them to learn how to give has been a tremendous help in their life. And all of that, I think, can start at any time. And it's just so great to see your kids follow through perfectly. As we said before, no, there's going to be all kinds of mistakes made, and that's fine, but always there to love them and help them to go forward. It's works. It works for, look at this family, and this, they have generations, and we're kind of new at this, but it still is consistent, and God is true to his word.
That's awesome. Thanks. Close it out.
Extend yourself grace. We're not perfect, so don't be hard on yourself. And tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah, that's good. Will you help me thank them? So thank you guys so much. Yeah, if you're anything like me, you can like walk out inspired by that or walk out defeated by that. And so I just want to clearly say, if you're in the defeated camp, man, do not give up. God rewrites stories. He rescues and saves. He's not done with you. And today is a day you can start. You heard it all through here. In this series, I've loved this series. I'm biased. That's okay. I can be. But we've tried to have homework every week where we had week one homework. We said, you know what? Let's get some family values going. You know, week two, let's make sure that we got these phase videos because every phase is a different thing that a kid needs. In week three, we said, okay, let's get into group launch. Make sure we're surrounded by people that are going to help us figure it out because friendships determine the direction and quality of our life, right? And then this week, we're saying, okay, we as a village, all of us are helping point the next generation in the right direction. What we want to do is we want to write a letter. So we're trying to make it idiot-proof. And don't be offended if you're an idiot. It's okay. I am too. But on the side of the aisles, there's actually a card. There's an envelope with a card in it. So you don't even have to go buy anything. We're just proactively, all you have to have is a pen. I can't make your hand write the pen. But I can. What we want to do is we want to challenge. So take one and pass it down if that'd be great. You can go ahead and do that now while I'm talking. And what we want to do is we want to challenge every single person to say, okay, let's find somebody in the next generation. It could be a grandkid, it could be a niece, it could be a nephew, it could be somebody that you coach, it could be somebody that you're friends with your kids' friends at school, it could be a neighborhood kid. We want to be able to write in this week four homework, we'll write a letter and it'll kind of prompt you on like, here's some things, because we want to give life with our words to the next generation to say, I see this in you and you have no idea what God may have for your life, and I'm for you, I'm not against you, and I'm excited to watch you thrive. So that's the homework that we got, and we put it in your hand. So now you have to at least do it or you're a bad person. So now I'm privileged and honored to be a part of this community and watch what God's doing. And as he's helping us all kind of get laser focused on pointing that next generation in the right direction. Why don't you pray with me? God, you are great and you are good and we are not, but you are so graceful to us. God, we could start today walking with you. We could change our family line today as by starting to walk with you. We may need to go back and make some amends. We may need to go back and make some things right. But God, you are kind and you don't rub our noses in our failure. You lift us up out of it so that we can restore our lives. And so God, we want to help the next generation thrive as far as it depends on us. And we want to cheer them on wildly when they win in your kingdom. God, we love you. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.